The Night Train is brought to you by St Andrews Hotel, 128 Nicholson Street, Fitzroy. Beautifully crafted, cosy and intimate spaces for your drinking and dining experiences.
I think the Knights, their time has arrived. I think last week, that 10-man performance in the preliminary final was absolutely exceptional. So I'm going for the Knights.
When you talk of Knights, it's a real fighting team.
Wooscock into the back of the net. Melbourne Knights take the lead 1-0. Melbourne Knights will win the Doherty Cup.
Croatia looking for a finals berth. That's it! The Croatia fans salute the goal. That could be so vital.
Welcome one and all to the Night Train and FNR Football Nation Radio, where every Monday evening we'll be discussing everything and anything Melbourne Knights. On tonight's show, we have juniors and mini roos news, women's news and results, Friday's win at home against Paco. We'll have the usual competition. We'll discuss some of our thoughts on the wisdom of Football Victoria, or Steve will. And our special guest in the studio will be half of the New Zealand contingent of our squad, the irrepressible number nine, Mr. Hamish Mishaw Watson. But first up, a shout out to the sponsors that make the club tick. A huge thank you to our show sponsor, St. Andrews Hotel, formerly the Pump House, major sponsor, IND Group, number one ticket holder, Melbourne Croatia Soccer Club, Living Gems Lifestyle Resorts, Melville Bodyworks, and the Australian Croatian Clubs of Melbourne and Geelong. I'm one of your hosts, Rob Spoliard, and joining me again this week and well, most weeks now, until while Smolik's browning his nether regions over there in Sukhoshan or something, is Mr. Steve Vukasovic. So, Steve, I hope you had a great weekend.
Great weekend, Rob. Good result for the boys on Friday night. So, always a great way to start the weekend.
Absolutely. 3 points. Much needed 3 points as well on the weekend. So it's always going to make you chirp you during
Pretty
the week.
Happy. Big game this week, though, against Gully. We'll touch on that later, though, Rob.
We will, absolutely. And also joining us, as per usual, is the football encyclopedia, Mr. Josh Parrish. Josh, fantastic to have you with us again.
Great to be here, boys. I noticed that our interview with Josip Simenic from last week blew up a bit on social media. Some controversy.
I think that's what we do here. We're experts in controversy over here at Football Nation Radio, and in particular here at the Night Train.
So my question is, are you going to deliver the same kind of ratings boon that we had last week?
I'm sure there really is. The fact that they know that Mr. Hamish Watson's in the studio tonight, everyone's going to be joining us and listening in to his thoughts.
And there's a song too, I hear.
There is a song. There's a song. Yeah, we'll play a song. Everyone's been asking me about when are you going to sing a song, so I've provided a song for you.
Brilliant. Can't wait.
It's not really a song that takes a piss. Maybe it takes a piss out of myself, but I'm not sure, you know, in performance-wise. But anyway, there is a song nonetheless. But Steve, juniors, mini roos, it was a big weekend as per usual, wasn't it?
Indeed, it was a big weekend. We'll start with the mini roos results. Under-7s Rob lost 7-5. Under-7s Peter drew 4-all. Under-8s Ivan lost 5-2. Under-8s Jack won 5-3. Under-9s Luch by. Under-10 Paul won 4-2. Under-10 Bruno by. Under-11 Damien won 3-2. Under-11 Vlad won 4-1. Under-11 girls Jacob won 8-2. Under-12 girls Seb drew 0-0. Some great results from our mini-roos and junior girls teams in particular yesterday. Special mention to Damien Wojtek's team, who managed to secure a win against the undefeated academy team, Sunbury. So, well done, under-11 Kangaroos. Now, the round 20 MPL results v Geelong Soccer Club. Under-12s D, 1-1, lost 1. Under-12s S, 1-1, lost 1. Under-13s lost 4-3. Under-14s lost 1.
2-1.
Lost 2-1, yeah. Under-15s won 2-0. Under-16s won 6-0. Under-18s won 3-0, and our under-20s drew 2-all. So some very competitive matches yesterday for the MPL teams who travelled to Geelong. Unfortunately, 13s and 14s couldn't get over the line in yesterday's games, but our 15s, 16s and 18s continue their great run. The 15s currently second, only 2 points behind Melbourne Victory. Our 16s currently first, and our 18s also currently second. And Just on the 18s, obviously Tom's away, but with Tommy being away, the under-18s were coached by our TD, Robbie Krajicic, and assistant Dario Lasic. The under-18s opened the scoring within 1 minute with a left-foot volley from Tomislav Korlic. They were in control of the remainder of the match, despite the windy conditions and poor pitch conditions. Big captain Jacko Maslak. He consolidated the lead with two headers before half-time. I hear there was a third header, which resulted in a red card, but we won't go into that. But some excellent work with the set pieces by the guys. So a real solid performance. And a big thank you to Rob and Dario as well for their excellent guidance on the day with Tommy's absence.
But it's a big shock in that on the score sheet. Someone's missing from that score sheet.
Yes.
The Stevens brothers, not one of them scored. Well, I can't believe it. That must have been something. I think it was a full moon or something over this weekend. So
we'll have to find out what happened there, right? Might have had a big night on Saturday. We're not sure. Benny's team drew 2-2 as well. I touched base with Ben last night. He said the game could have gone either way. Obviously, they played on pitch two, which isn't in the greatest condition. But they've probably had too many draws, I'd say. They're just not consolidating on when they've been on top in games. But onwards and upwards for the guys.
Absolutely. The main thing is that we're producing some decent players, which the 20s actually have. And I believe who scored in the 20s? I think it was Ivan Grgic scored one.
Ivan Grgic, flying header up here from a long throw. Apparently it was a diving header or something or other. Hamish was talking about it earlier, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe he can talk about it a bit later.
Maybe he can.
So,
some good results there. And the women's, bit mixed over on the weekend.
Yeah, so the senior women's lost 3-1. They're currently fifth in the league with a game in hand. So if they capitalise on that, game in hand, I think they're 3 points off third place. Mm. So if they win that, they've got a better goal difference, so they'll leap into third spot. But the reserves, obviously, they won 2-1, which is a great result for the girls. So again, onwards and upwards for the women as well. They're doing magnificently. So, kudos to Gus and his coaching team. Great job, guys. So keep it up, girls.
No, it's good to see. You know, a big improvement from results from last year. So that's all you can hope for. And being third in the league behind Melbourne Uni, who was always expected to take the league. They just seem to do that year in, year out. Fantastic from the girls. So great to see.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, our setup's very much still in its infancy. So, but we're seeing some great games being displayed by our women this year. And, obviously we're attracting a lot more females to the club, which is great to see as well.
And I noticed on the Preston show as well that Preston's pushing for an NPL license for the women as well. So, I mean, that's something that we could probably take a leaf out of their book and look at doing as a club, because regardless whether it's men's, women's, I mean, if we got success on the park, everywhere, it's just going to bide well for our club.
Yep, agree, definitely, Rob.
So let's run through the results of round 22 NPL seniors action. The Oakley Cannons and Port Melbourne fought out a 1-1 draw. The Bentley Greens were humbled at home at the hand of Heidelberg United 3-0. Green Gully came from behind to thump Kingston 5-2. Hume City proved to the stronger in their 3-1 win over South Melbourne. Altona Magic went down to Dandy City at home 2-1 with goals to Santalab and Leia for Dandy. Dandenong Thunder managed a 1-1 draw against Avondale. And, of course, we won at home again against Pasco Vale 2-1 with goals to Awad. And finally, Brycey got off the mark with his maiden goal for the season. So it was fantastic to get up and see the boys get the 3 points there. The ladder, as it stands after 22 rounds, has Avondale remain on top with 47 points. Heidelberg is second with 42 points and a game in hand. Bentley are third on 41 points. Green Gully and Hume City are fourth and fifth, respectively, both on 37 points. And Oakley round out the six with 32 points. However, they still have a game in hand, which makes our situation all the more complicated. So we are seventh on 30 points, 2 points behind Oakley. Port Melbourne are seventh on 29 points. Altona and South Melbourne are ninth and 10th, respectively, both on 28 points. Dandy City 11th on 26 points and still mathematically in with a chance to make the six. And they also have an 8-point gap on Dandy Thunder, who are currently in the playoff spot with 18 points. Just 1 point in front of Pasco Vale in 13th and Kingston, who are last on 16 points. In other words, there's still plenty to play for in the middle and bottom of the table. And by no means are the top six and relegation spots settled. even though there are only four rounds left to play. So let's look ahead to round 23 as well. Pasco Vale, who are desperate to get out of the relegation zone, are at home to Hume City, who will be keen to solidify their top six position. Third takes on last when Bentley are at home to Kingston. Dandy City will be keen to show their worth when they take on second-placed Heidelberg United at Frank Holohan Soccer Complex on Friday. Port Melbourne and Altona Magic both have the top six in their sights when they take on one another at JL Murphy Reserve and will hopefully end up in a draw. Let's hope. Didn't think I would be saying this a few weeks ago, but definitely hoping Avondale knock off Oakley Cannons when they meet this Saturday. And fingers crossed, South Melbourne will have a tough time against Dandenong Thunder at Lakeside on Sunday. And finally, we are away to Green Gully this Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. at Green Gully Reserve, where effectively our finals run has already begun as we can't afford to lose this one. So, Steve, at most times a pretty decent performance on Friday night against Pasco Vale. I would say even a disciplined performance, maybe just one little mistake there with the pen, a silly pen that was probably didn't need to be conceded. But other than that, we, you know, even when we didn't have the ball, we seemed to be in control of the game and were the better team even when we didn't have it.
Yeah, definitely in control of the game. Obviously, you know, lacked a bit of concentration, you know, in some parts of that second half. Obviously let Pasco Vale back in the game, which is disappointing. You know, and the guys obviously took the foot off the pedal. So, you know, you obviously need to play out the 90 minutes. It's really important. And again, we had, you know, a multitude of chances that we could have capitalised on and didn't. And it almost proved costly in the end. So, you know, I think, you know, looking at the past few weeks, I think we've been very solid. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's held us in good stead as we're leading into, effectively, as you said, what's the beginning of our finals campaign. So, obviously, if we can get another good showing, if we play the same way we did against Pasco Vale, against Green Gully, I think we'd be on the right track. So,
look, I thought we played an excellent game against them in the reverse fixture when we played them at home. I can't see any reason why we can't beat Gully. But look, Gully, again, they've been a little bit inconsistent this season as well. Even they're you know what, third or fourth there on the table, but you can beat anyone, you know. So I mean, I think the main thing is, look, we've dominated games like against the Port Melbourne game where we lost 2-1, even though we went up 1-0. Just hopefully the luck turns this time and that we actually get the result that we deserve, you know. And luckily enough, we did against Paco.
I think it's all just, it's almost mental, Robbie. I think you've just got to be prepared for each game, week in, week out. I mean, you look at the games we've dropped, a lot of them are against teams below us, right? Yeah. Your Kingston Cities, your Dandy Thunders. And we picked up points against teams above us. So, again, it's you've got to have the right frame of mind as you walk out in that park. So, definitely.
So, but even that Dandy Thunder game you mentioned, we were down 3-1 as well. The beautiful part of that game was the fighting spirit to come back and actually draw that game, you know. Look, we've got the Arsenal, you know, and I think we can definitely, and the Arsenal stand sitting right to my right over here, you know, we can beat anyone, as we've shown against Avondale when we absolutely crucified South Melbourne in that FFA Cup game, when the man to my right scored a hat-trick there as well. I mean, we could beat anyone in this league.
Definitely.
And I would also add Adelaide United into that mix, you know.
Oh, without a doubt. I think if you're going to catch our A-League team, it's the best time to do it in the round of 32. So, obviously, they're more or less just, you know, starting their pre-season. I mean, they're well underway, but in terms of match fitness, et cetera, they're well off the mark. So, you know, if the guys have got the right mindset going into the game, if they're prepared well, if we're fit, you know, and there's no, I guess, injuries to other players within the squad, we've got a bit of depth now at the moment, I think anything's possible, Rob. Anything is possible. So,
and unfortunately, we've got that three-point situation where, actually, at the moment, if we didn't lose those 3 points, we'll be sitting in sixth spot, even though Oakley do have a game in hand, and through no fault of the players. But some of the decisions that came out there over that, I mean, it's been very controversial, considering as well the decision that was made with, I was about to say North Sunshine Eagles, but it was actually the Altona Magic versus Dandy Thunder game.
Yeah, look, I mean, all cases are treated differently, right? So everything's treated on a case-by-case basis. But I think if you line it all up, I mean, just look at social media. Everyone's asking the question, you know, it's you can almost break someone's jaw, but well, and get off lightly. You know, you can't go to a game. You know, I'm still not sure what transpired or still what the allegations are, but I know the Knights did go. Or did appeal the decision. And for those that don't know, the FFV didn't even want to hear the appeal. So call it as you want. And this is my stance on it. It's not on behalf of the club, but if you ask me, it's a bit of a cash grab from the FFV as usual, just lining up their pockets. So and I'll state it's got nothing to do with Melbourne Knights. That's just my stance on the, or my opinion on the matter. So.
Well, yeah, that's a conspiracy theory there. I mean, but when you look at it logically, I mean, this is what just doesn't sit well with me. Okay, I'm not condoning any racist chants or racist behaviour. If that's what occurred at the South Melbourne game, so be it. But at the Altona Dandy game, there was punches thrown. People spat at. And the thing was shown live to air. Everybody saw it. And nobody loses points. So you're going to tell me like a hate hella sign or whatever it was is worse than someone getting smacked in the head or spat on? I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. That's all.
Like you don't condone any sort of behaviour like that in either way. But, yeah, obviously if, you know, the punishment fits the crime, then, you know, obviously it doesn't make sense, right? So, you know, 3 points for that and nothing for, you know, I understand North Sunshine was held liable for that fracas. Again, I'm not sure how you work that out. I could go to a game, a neutral fixture, if you want to put it that way. Let's just say, for argument's sake, I don't know, Oakley v Altona, and wear an Altona jacket and start hurling abuse at Oakley supporters, yeah. You know, for no unknown reason, and they're held accountable for it. So yeah. as an innocent bystander, so absolute rubbish, if you ask me.
Well, Knights could have actually said, oh, it wasn't actually Knights supporters that put up any of those signs. They were bunker supporters.
Well, I don't know. They were supporters, so. But anyway.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
If that's what it comes down to, I mean, seriously.
Look, and again, and I'll reiterate, not condoning any racist behaviour, not condoning any racist chants, not saying anything, but I'll say what's good for the goose is good for the gander as well. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, people have short memories when Francis Awaratifi played Hay South, but anyway,
yeah, exactly.
We won't go there. So.
No.
Anyway. It's a funny sport, isn't it?
On a lighter note, and a much more positive note, we got sent a flyer for the Australian-Croatia Mini-Roos tournament in 2019. So the inaugural one was held at Knights last season, which only entailed, I think, the under-10s, or was it the under-11s? I think it was the under-10s last year. But this time around, I think they're opening it up for more age groups, and it's going to be held at the Croatian Sports Centre in Adelaide on the 7th and 8th of September 2019, and anyone that's been down there in Adelaide will know what a fantastic facility it is. Team nominations are due by Friday the 16th of August, so be quick as spots are filling fast. For more information, contact Dom Todoric on 0422 924 893, or just contact CroatiaRaiders.com.au or someone there and they'll pass on the information. But it's a fantastic little venture. We've seen how the seniors tournament has grown and just grown, and it's become the biggest ethnic tournament in the country by a country mile. Fantastic they're doing it with the juniors as well, you know, considering we've got so many teams. They're giving the kids an opportunity to go and show their wares and develop their skills in the tournament environment.
Yeah, and no better place than Adelaide. They always put on a great spectacle, and, you know, quite close with Dom down there, and I know they do a thorough job. Yeah. And just, you know, being our sister club, Adelaide Croatia Raiders, they're doing fantastic this year, led by Nick Kuzman and the boys.
Yeah. So fairy tale story, actually.
I think they had a solid 4-0 win on the weekend, so that's great. And there's some great players in that team, so I think the Knights might be circling for a few of those players as well. So see how we go. But I'll be in touch with you, Nick. But anyway,
I think they'll be keen on keeping those players, mate. You know, but no, doing extremely well down there in Adelaide. And
before I forget, yep. Rob, plugging Adelaide, we've got to plug our own club. The big game, the FFA Cup now. For those people that know, the FFA Cup round of 32, Wednesday, August the 7th, kickoff at 7:30 p.m. at Knights Stadium. Just around ticketing, log on to melbourneknights.com.au. It outlines all the details. I've been told, get your tickets online. Obviously, you know, come into the game 10 minutes before kickoff, you'll be guaranteed to miss the first 20 or 30 minutes. They're expecting a bumper crowd. Yeah. So please log on to melbourneknights.com.au, get your tickets. All the pricing details are outlined on the website. Once again, melbourneknights.com.au. Yeah.
I think it's $20 for adults, or yeah, if members, you're a member, yeah. $15. So yeah, a nice right. little.
Yeah. And then you obviously got your concession and children. From the ages of 7 to 15, I believe, are $5. Yeah. So kids under 7 are free, so bring the whole family. It's going to be a great evening.
What's your crowd prediction for that one?
I'm aiming anything in between 3.5 to 5, Rob.
Yeah, that's what I think. I'm aiming for 15, but I'm thinking it's going to be between 3.5 and 5.
Yeah. Obviously, if we get some good weather. The weather gods are kind to us, mate, I'm leaning more towards the 5 mark. So that'd be great. Absolutely great. So, yeah. But again, why on earth are they playing? I believe there are some other corresponding fixtures on the night.
Victory's playing the Newcastle Jets at the same time in the same city. And there's 3 weekends. And there's no games in Victoria or in Melbourne the week before. But then they schedule that game at the same time as ours. And I'm just thinking from a neutral point of view, if you're a neutral, soccer supporter, or you just want to go out and see a game, you'd want to go out and see the Knights versus Adelaide United, and now you're going to be stopped. Or even, look, I would say it's costing us easily 200, 300, 400 Victory fans who would have just come out to watch the game just to see a spectacle.
Just unfortunate we didn't draw Victory, eh?
If we're playing Victory, I would have said there'll be 15,000 people.
Without a doubt.
That would have been. Without a doubt. That would have been incredible. Well, you never know. Round 16.
Yep.
When we beat Adelaide. And I reiterate, when.
Exactly.
Put your bets on, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's enough of that sort of talk. In the studio, we do have a very, very special guest. So we'll take a very short break before we speak to the soccer star that is Mr. Hamish Mitchell Watson. Welcome back to the Night Train, ladies and gentlemen. And as usual, we're out there for you, ladies and gentlemen. Another public service announcement. People out there need help. We want to encourage love. That's what we're all about. We're about love. Ready, please, Mr. Music. Oh, it's not there. Okay, well, I'll have to translate this one anyway. But greetings, everyone. I'm looking for a woman between 20 and 35 years of age. Someone who's going to cook me Croatian food every day. I want to have minimum 8 children. And I want these kids to work in my garden. I live in the sun. And please call me on 0411-46438. My name is Marte and I'm 20 years of age. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, in the studio we have Mr. Hamish Mitchell Watson. Hamish, welcome finally to the Night Train, or live to the Night Train. Anyway, we've spoken to you a couple of times on the phone, but how's it feeling here? A bit claustrophobic?
Nah, it's all right. Not too bad.
So, anyway, a bit of information on Hamish for those of you who have been living under a rock and probably don't know anything about him. Born on the 17th of April, 1993. So young. 26. In Lower Hutt, New Zealand. So that's just outside of Wellington. With Wellington, greater Wellington, that's what, 500,000 people that live around there? That would include Lower Hutt?
I think so. You sound like you know more than me.
I don't know. mate, Wikipedia knows more than me. That's what I know. 188 centimetres tall. Yeah, I would say probably even more. 33 appearances for Wellington Phoenix. 6 goals. 5 appearances for the under-20s, well, the New Zealand under-20s, and scored 2 goals. What age were you when you started playing 20s? Well, when you got into the...
I would have been 19.
And how was that as an experience for you? Did that help you develop as a player, or was that just a buzz playing for the national team?
Bit of both. I mean, it's tough to qualify because we have to go to the islands most of the time. 40-degree heat, terrible conditions, playing against people that built, absolutely built and can run like the wind. They're just not tactically as good, but it was tough. And then obviously... set me up well for what was to come. So,
a natural born athlete, but probably why you're so used to a physical game anyway, because you're playing against the Islanders as well, which wouldn't be an easy task.
So, talk to us about football in New Zealand in general. I mean, obviously, most kids would probably play union, I'd say, before the round ball. Do I have got that wrong? Or cricket? Or
I think a lot of young people do play football in New Zealand now when they're younger, but rugby is the biggest sport by a mile. Yeah. Everyone wants to play rugby or be an All Black or that kind of stuff.
So do you ever touch on the other football codes? You ever played a bit of union or a bit of touch rugby or anything? Was it always a round ball?
I never played rugby, but I played rugby league for a few years.
Okay. So that's where you get your physical streak from, mate, hey?
Yeah, I just like to smash people, to be honest.
We'd never have guessed that, but in terms of like even a popularity thing, league's probably not that popular in New Zealand, is it?
Nah, not particularly, but I mean, there's the Warriors and people like that, but it's not the biggest sport, nah. It's mostly just rugby, soccer, league kind of thing. But
So tell, when did you start playing the game?
I would have been 5, I'm pretty sure, went and played for my local team, Lower Hutt. And then, yeah, played there for like 15 years, till I was 20.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And Lower Hutt's in which league?
It's called the Central League, which goes all the way up to about halfway up the North Island. And there's 10 teams in the league in promotion relegation.
Okay.
One team will come up and down each year into the division below.
And what would be the comparison? What league here in Victoria or Australia?
Well, that league is the best. There's two different leagues in New Zealand. That's why it's a bit different. There's the winter, which is that one, and then there's one that's played during the summer, right. which is the higher quality one, is the one in right. the summer. Yeah.
And now, like, you've come there from Wellington anyway, a town of, what, 500,000 people or so, something like that, to a big city, I mean, you know, probably 10 times the size of Wellington, really. How have you settled into Melbourne?
Yeah, it is massive, massive city. I think I've settled in all right. It is just such a big place, like you said. Whenever we go anywhere, I've got no idea where I'm going still. I'll just map everything and have a look, but I guess that's just the way it is when it's such a big space.
Just hang around Pier Street and you'll be all right. You'll know how to get home.
That's pretty much what I do every day.
Speaking of settling in, you've definitely settled in well at the Knights. You've been amazing. You've been an absolute find. How did you actually get to the Melbourne Knights? Can you tell our listeners out there?
It was actually an old player who played here, Lewis Fenton. I was going to training one night at Team Wellington and he messaged me and just said, would you want to move to Melbourne? The Melbourne Knights want a striker. And he just said, if I put your name forward, they'll probably sign you like straight away. And I pretty much just rang Mark Ivkovic straight away and had a chat with him. And then I pretty much went into the coach the same day and just said, like, oh, I've got an offer to come to Melbourne. So
the rest is history, eh?
And pretty much.
When he told you about the offer, did Lewis Fenton actually tell you much about the club or give you a background?
He told me a little bit, yeah. He just said that it's a good club, they'll look after you. And that, yeah, he just said he came over here, I think he did two stints over here, I think he did.
Yeah,
and
he did.
And yeah, he just really enjoyed it. He's got family here as well, so that's why he enjoyed his time here. And he just said the same thing, like, oh, you'll love it, you have a great time. So, and I just thought it was about time I did something different.
And then you came here and were bitterly disappointed, yeah?
Yeah, bitterly disappointed.
But, I mean, has it met your expectations? Is it the sort of club? I mean, from what you knew about the club, is it what you expected or more or less?
I didn't know a hell of a lot, to be honest. But, yeah, I mean, it's been very good. I've had a good season and hopefully we can push on and make the playoffs, hopefully. But it's in our hands and we have to win our remaining games to get there, so.
And what about from even the league point of view? Has it been a letdown from the league? Did you expect more from the league or did you expect less from the league? In terms of not only football, but, you know, interest in the game and stadia, you know, and you know, facilities? I
mean, yeah, the facilities, everyone's facilities are pretty good, to be honest, and they're all looked after by the council, so
yeah.
You'd expect them to be pretty good. And then obviously the level of football as well, I got told it was very, very physical, and obviously I just thought that would be all right for me because
I
kind of like that. So I thought, yeah, why not come over and see what it is about kind of thing. So
yeah, okay. And then from a physical, what is it about the physicality that you like? Is it just that you're usually the stronger one when he comes into that, or is...
Oh, it depends. I mean, sometimes referees will let you get away with more than others, and I think you just got to realise who the ref is and then kind of get on with it. And if they're going to give a few things, you got to be smart, and if they're not going to give a few things, then you just have to go for it, free-for-all kind of thing. So,
well, I don't recall you getting a card. Have you gotten a card this season?
I've been sat on 4 yellow cards for a very long time.
Oh, you have been? Okay.
I didn't really want to say anything, but...
Fair enough. Well, hopefully no one from Gully's listening anyway. But, I mean, like you said, you've come in, you've had a very good season. I say you've scored 11 league goals. You say 9, but I'll keep it at 11. But, but you've made a huge impact. I mean, everyone's talking, Hamish Watson. And I think in particular, the most astonishing stat that I found is you scored 10 goals in 5 matches in the cup. What does that say about you? I mean, you're going to be a psychoanalyst. There's something about cups that you just love, that you just get fired up. You get a fire in the belly, or what is it?
I've got absolutely no idea. I just feel all my chances come in the cups and I just score them for some reason. Don't know.
Let's hope there's a few more chances against Adelaide, because we'll need a few goals definitely that game, mate.
Yeah, 100%.
So just obviously thinking about, you know, Melbourne Knights, it's your first year here. Obviously there's expectations now more broadly about the club positioning itself for, you know, the second league or the second tier just below the A-League when that comes to fruition, everything else. Thinking about all that, where does that sort of leave you? Obviously you've slotted in well at the club. Look, some of the comments I'm seeing on Facebook, you know, you're a champion, you're a star. Even I think Buddy Steve Bayard saying, give us a wave, big dog. You know, I've got Mihaly Bulic saying you're a great player, and I echo his sentiments. Hopefully he stays long term, and we'd like to see someone of your, you know, calibre staying at the club for a very long time. We haven't had a striker of your quality for quite some time. So, you know, you've immediately become a fan favourite. And, you know, if I think about the players that have passed through the club in the last decade, and those that have remained loyal, they're handsomely rewarded. You know, one Ben Surrey especially, you know, came to the club, applied himself, still remains at the club in a coaching capacity now, but he'll be obviously, you know, long remembered as a legend. And, you know, again, it's only your first year and it's very much premature, but we'd obviously like to see you stay a very long time at the club. Obviously, if something comes your way, that's, you know, an offer you can't refuse sort of thing. That's fair enough. But, you know, I think, you know, what are your thoughts on remaining at the Knights this year and onwards? And
well, when I came, I said the same thing to Mark and Pave. I said that I'll come and then at the end of the year I want to go home, because I've come over by myself. I've left my partner in Wellington. And I said I'd come over and then when the season's done, to go home and play in the National League back home.
That summer league you mentioned?
Yeah, the summer league, yeah. And then come back like I did at the start of this year, early February or late January, whenever they wanted me back kind of thing, and then go from there again. But, I mean, I have to have a convo about that, because, I mean, I don't really know. I think she is pretty keen to move over, but and obviously I've enjoyed it here, but...
You have to put the foot down, mate. That's what I do.
I got life back home as well, so I don't know if I can... I need to sort a few things out when I go back as well.
Well, when you came here, did you have anyone here? Any family, any friends?
I have a few friends that live here and a few other boys that I know from playing back home that obviously play here and work here as well. But no family or anything that's here.
Yeah, and I mean, it must be a tough thing to move. I mean, it's not that... 4-hour flight, and you would have thinking at the end of the day there's not much difference between New Zealand and Australians, you know, it's pretty much the same country at the end of the day. But so you wouldn't feel, you know, like you've moved into another country so much, probably just more like you've moved to another city or something.
Yeah, like I mean it is so different, because I am used to Wellington and it is a very small compact kind of city in a small scale, and I guess Melbourne, they say they compare it to Wellington because of the, I don't know, the layout of the roads and things like that, but Melbourne's just enormous compared to, like, if I don't know if anyone's ever been to Wellington, but Wellington, like, is so small. I go home now and I'm kind of just like, oh, cruising about, and I'm just like, oh, there's no rush, nothing or anything. But here, it's just millions and millions of people.
Well, Lake Taupo is the further south I got in New Zealand, but absolutely beautiful. That was one of the, what a beautiful experience driving from Auckland to Rotorua to Lake Taupo. And apparently the further south you go, the more beautiful it gets.
Never been down south.
Well,
I'm the worst. I'm the worst New Zealander ever.
No, fair enough. But I mean, look, I mean, like you said, you've come in, you've set the competition on fire, and everyone's talking Hamish Watson and that. There must be interest from people. I mean, without saying too much, obviously you want to keep your cards to your, close to your chest. Are people there ringing you up and saying, "How are you? How you going, mate? You interested in coming to play for us for a few more quid?"
I know one person knows that I get a few phone calls, but I'll pretty much nip it in the butt most of the time and just said I play for the Knights, and I said I wouldn't leave this year, and that's why I stayed the whole season. I wouldn't leave.
And then you said you had that plan of playing this whole season, and like you said, it's pretty physical and pretty gruesome. And then going off to play, how do you think your body will hold up doing two seasons in a row? Is it something?
I have no worries, to be honest. I mean, touch wood, I'm normally pretty good with injuries. I'd say I look after myself all right. And I mean, this is probably the most games I've strung in a row for a very long time since I was early 20s, when I'd just literally go from winter to summer, playing 18 games in the winter, then 16 in the summer as well. Yeah. So we've played, 22 games and however many cup games. I've not missed a game. I'm pretty sure I've started every one.
Yeah,
so
I'm pretty sure too. Yeah,
which is probably the longest run of games I've put together, which is good. So
You said you take care of yourself. I remember you were labelled on this show as unfit. Yeah, my co-host, Rob, over here.
Who said that again?
The guy over
there. Oh, was it?
Unfit? Possibly fat?
I never said that. Okay. No, I never said that.
I agree.
I never said that. And there was at a fiery time.
I blame Joseph Franich for feeding me the way he does at work.
Speaking of, eating food, obviously you live with a couple of the players, Rob, more than a couple. There's Brycey, there's Mo. Calvin and
Gian as well. Yeah.
So who does all the cooking? I'd say Brycey.
Yeah, Brycey's a very good cook. Yeah, yeah. For anyone
who does
listening,
the cleaning? Definitely Gian.
Nah, Gian doesn't clean. Doesn't know the meaning of the word.
Oh, that's right.
He's Italian. He's just waiting for his mum to arrive. That's what it is.
Oh yeah, she might come in the helicopter.
Oh yeah. I don't know. That's obviously an inside joke. We got to tell, I mean, it's fascinating, that house. I won't say where it is, but I can just imagine some of the stuff that happens in there. Is it a fun house?
Yeah, it is a very fun house. Nice place to live, nice area. And, yeah, it's a beautiful house and nice and close to the beach and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was really good.
And so you've played A-League football as well. So you had the 33 appearances with Wellington Phoenix. How was that as an experience for you? Did that help you as a player? And what are the kind of differences that you see, say, between NPL football and A-League football?
Yeah, I'd say it's helped me a lot. Obviously, being in that professional environment for extended amounts of time is going to help any player, I think, improve if they want to. And I think, to be honest with you, the real difference between it is, I'm going to say, fitness and things like that. They're a full-time outfit. You're training every day, kind of thing like that. And then obviously the players and the quality of players that you get obviously is just a cut above, obviously, the local ones and stuff like that. So
let's look at the team that you've got now before we go to a phone call. But just say you've got this Knights outfit and you're playing professional football. You reckon you could, this team as it is today, training professionally, would they stand up against an A-League side?
It's hard to say. I think you obviously need to add a bit more quality in and around, but I'd say, yeah, we'd do all right. And it's more just a mental thing as well. You've literally got to be on your game all the time, non-stop. Otherwise, you'll get punished.
Yeah. So I've been told that we do have a phone call.
I think we've got to play this first, though.
Oh, yeah, we do.
In tonight's special feature, we hear their thoughts on where the game has been and where it's heading.
You
can't handle the truth.
You want really to say something?
Open up the doghouse. Open up the doghouse. Rover, Rover, move it over. Two cats are coming in.
We've got Stite from Melton on the line. Stite, you're live on the air.
G'day, boys. How's it going?
Very well, Stipe. How are you?
Good, good, good. Listen, I just want to say to Hamish, how was it playing against a team like South Melbourne, especially in a cup match like that? Obviously, they're our big rivals. So what do you think? I'll tell you what, the hat-trick that you did was out of this world. It was superb. It was a rainy day. It just reminded me of the time when Paducah scored that hat-trick. It was about 20 years ago. Me but too. I'll tell you what, I never had a best feeling when I've seen a match like that. That was fantastic. I just wanted to say.
Yeah, I mean, I love scoring in any game, to be honest, but the way that the rivalry that you guys have with South Melbourne obviously makes it that bit sweeter, that if I do score and we win kind of thing, then that you guys love it that much more, which obviously makes it good.
Oh, look, with your celebrations, I reckon you were loving it just quietly as well.
100%. I like scoring any game.
And it was a fantastic performance, and that was something when I did interview Marian after the game. The first thing that I remember, because it was raining, atrocious conditions, and, you know, it was one of those games, and it just took me back to that preliminary final against South Melbourne when Viduka scored that hat-trick. And then, as soon as you came into the club, I reckon after the first game against Oakley, people were saying, oh, he's a new Dukes. Big, strong, up front, you know. And how does that feel being compared to someone of his stature?
Obviously, I'm not as good as Mark Viduka was, obviously. But, yeah, I'll take it. I mean, obviously, you guys haven't had a striker, because that's all anyone really says to me, that you've not had a big centre forward that'll hold the ball up, win headers, bring other people into play and score goals for a while. So I'm just happy that I can come in and help the team, give them something that they haven't had for a little while.
Yeah, and that was one thing that Parvis said to me as well. He just goes, how beautiful is it to just see a big, burly striker that can, you know, up front, that's been...
Well, every time that ball gets whipped to the box, there's every chance that Hamish is going to get on the end of it, right? So there's always that glimmer of hope. You know, previously, you know, you put the ball in the mixer, you know, it could be a half-hearted sort of cross, but Hamish gets on the end of those too. It's just been fantastic.
Well look at last season. I mean, where were we scoring? We're scoring with just crosses, really. Uskok, I think Uskok was our top goal scorer last year, and, you know, Nicola had a lot of goals, so it was just the tools that were getting their heads in, but... Now there's a different game plan, I suppose, to when Asanovic was there. And, you know, there's someone who can hold the ball up and wait for those wingers to come up and support, which you're doing as well. Like, I've noticed that you like to come in deeper, take the ball, give and go.
Yeah, I mean, many different ways to play, and you just got to mix it up, whatever team you're playing. And obviously, if I'm getting the ball into my feet, then bring others into it, get it wide, and then obviously get myself in the box, because that's obviously where I'm going to get most of my chances to hopefully score.
And just another question. I see on Wikipedia that you played for Grimsby Town in England. Just want to know, what was your experience like there, if Wikipedia is right? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I went over to England, I think it was 2004. 14, maybe 2015, I can't actually remember, but went over to Grimsby Town and didn't even really play, to be honest with you. I think I played four. I played four games. Nah, Grimsby was a horrible place to live. It wasn't very fun at all, to be honest with you, but I mean, it was an eye-opener to go to England, and just like, Grimsby's a big club. We're in the conference and we're still getting 4,500 every home game, travelling away games, and we'd have 2,000 away fans and they'd have 300 home fans. And it was crazy to be involved in, obviously, but just didn't play as much as I obviously would have wanted.
Thanks for the call, Stite.
Thanks, Stipe.
No, thank you.
Stipe, behave yourself, boy. But MJ Windsor, he's put here, short memories on club legend Kim Harris. Kim Harris was great. Look, you know, he worked hard and everything, but I don't know if you would call him Kim essentially a number nine, you know?
Yeah, no.
Have you seen any of the terrible photoshops of your head on Mark Viduka's body? I've seen a few of those going around on social media.
Yeah, and the person that first did it is my friend from New Zealand who lives here, and I messaged him straight away.
Well, speaking of friends, Taylor Hall-Jones, mate, he said you're going to be back for Wairarapa, bro, next year.
What it up,
in the winter.
Yeah, got a few friends that still play there. I like to dig into him a little bit. He's got a big muffin top. If you think I'm unfit, you should have a look at him. He's got a bigger belly than me. And I think they've just gone, I hope he's listening too, Taylor. I think it's 15 games they've played and they've not won a game yet this season, mate. So no thanks. I won't be coming back to the Wairarapa.
There you go. And Johnny Sladish here. My Kiwi neighbour loves Croatians and tells me that Watson can do the haka live.
Can't wait.
What, just a little haka?
Just a little haka for the viewing audience on Facebook.
Yeah, you reckon?
I reckon.
Come on.
Might be disrespectful, but...
Is it really? If it's disrespectful, don't do it.
It probably is.
All right, then don't worry about that. But we did. Well, we learnt the haka as well at school. Yeah. Brother Kevin? Brother Kevin taught us the haka in year seven, but... Because Brother Kevin's brother... Brother Kevin's brother was Dave Dobbin that sang... Oh, what was that song again? It was a massive hit from New Zealand. Oh, my God, what was that song? Dave Dobbin. I'll think about it in the meantime anyway, but Slice of Heaven, that's what it was. Yes. Moon shines over my horizon. She's a slice of heaven. Slice of heaven. Anyway.
Giving the people a little bit of preview of what's to come.
Yeah, a little bit of a preview, actually. That's right. But... All right, let's get to know you as well a little bit further. What's your earliest football memory?
It would honestly probably be in the backyard with my old man, probably just smashing balls at him. The house we've lived in since I was born, it's got a big back, oh, not big, but backyard, and Dad would always buy a goal with a net and all that on it, and I'd always be the only one out there. My two brothers would come out as well, but I'd be out there the most, just smashing balls at the goal nonstop.
And that's where you got that love? Yeah, so did you always have a good shot, even as a kid?
Yeah, I'd just hit it as hard as I could. Yeah. I think I broke a few. Dad got glasses. I think I broke maybe three or four growing up, just smashing it at him.
Well, obviously your parents were football fans.
Mostly my dad. My mum's not really interested.
Scottish background, is it, Hamish? Or
no, my dad's English. No, not Scottish background at all. My parents just liked all the names. My brother's called Campbell and Lachlan, so they just, I got no idea why, they just called us all Scottish names. But my dad's English and my mum is Irish a few generations back, but
that's why you're
I just call myself a Kiwi, to be honest.
So is your dad a Liverpool fan?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why you're a big Liverpool fan?
Yeah. So I was pretty much born, and he put me in a Liverpool kit straight away, pretty much.
Okay, loads Hamish, thanks for joining us tonight.
I was going to say, that's why when he puts a red kid on, you know, he's firing away because he's so used to it. But what's your funniest football story?
Honestly, I can't think of one off the top of my
head. It's nearly 9 o'clock, so you can, you know, it can get a little bit saucy.
Honestly, can't even think of one.
Would any of them entail that house that you live in at the moment with four other teammates?
Oh, not at all. We're pretty tame at that house, you know. Nothing really goes on at all involving, like, candle wax or things like that or loud music on Saturday nights, et cetera, et cetera. But...
Yeah, see, well, we're talking about saucy, there we go. but even like as you've come into Melbourne, even though it's a massive city, you've really been entrenched in that Knights community. You're living with your teammates. You're working with a teammate.
Yeah.
You work with Joey Franich. Yeah. How's that going along for you?
Yeah, it's good. Working with Joey's a lot of fun. And then obviously it's what I did back home as well, so it's actually worked out pretty well that I can just – kind of work with him, help him out where he needs it, and gives me something to do, which is more important.
And he's a decent boss?
Yeah, he's all right.
On payday, he's the best.
Mark's just reminding me you got a 2-year contract, so you can't renege on that.
Oh, is that right, Ivka? How's your knee, mate?
And tell me now, like, I mean, it's got to be at the back of your mind, this game that's coming up against Adelaide United, FFA Cup game. Like we said, we're expecting anywhere between 3,000 and 5,000, hopefully even more, at a ground like Knight Stadium as well, where it's pretty intimate as well and everything. How do you think that's going to fare with the team? I mean, is that something that the team's talking about or looking forward to?
To be honest, we haven't really spoken about it too much. I think it's kind of just in the background. We know it's coming up. We've just kind of been focusing on these league games and the Doherty Cup and the other games that have been coming up. But obviously it's getting closer and closer now, 2 weeks away. So, I mean, we're going to have to start having some convos about it and things like that. So I think the boys are excited for it, though, more than anything.
It's got to be a massive week as well, because you've got that game. And then on the Saturday, the Doherty Cup final up against Hume over in Kingston Heath.
Kingston Heath,
they might as well have just kept the game over at Ballarat or played in Albury Wodonga, I don't know, whatever.
That's... Have you ever been out to Kingston Heath?
I have been there.
Absolute shambles.
It's not a bad complex. There's nothing wrong with the complex. It's just that you've got a team from Hume, team from Broadmeadows, team from Sunshine, and you've got to go out over there to, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
A bit like the 3 points, but anyway.
We won't talk about that anymore. I'm in trouble enough as it is. But I don't think I am. But thanks again to the South President for sending that report. But anyway, Hamish, I just want to touch on the Avondale games, both wins, FA Cup and the league game. It seemed to be quite spiteful at times in the park. What was the back chat like? It was a few little, argy-bargies on the park. I know you like that sort of stuff. Can you give us a bit of a insight into, because there's a lot of back chat, mate, and there's a lot of lip going on, so.
I just don't think my old mate Scott Hillier from Team Wellington doesn't really like me anymore, to be honest, but it's not the end of the world.
I'm sure you made some good friends, mate, out here, mate, so don't worry about Scotty, we'll take care of him too, so.
They've been unbelievable season, they're flying in the league, top of the table. So, I mean, to beat them twice, that shows that we can beat any team. It's just, obviously, I don't know. I don't really know what it is. And we need to sit down and have a chat about that. I mean, if it shows we can play against all those teams and we can win, obviously, and be like mongrel and foot to the throat and win. So, I mean, that's good signs. But then, obviously, we struggle against other sides and make it hard for ourselves. So.
Yeah. How much of that do you think is a mental thing?
I wouldn't know if it was mental or not, or whether it's just, I guess you would say it's mental, really, then. If you just, get a bit complacent, or that we're playing someone who might be not as good, kind of thing. But, I mean, that's just consistency as well. Like, we can only blame ourselves for points we've dropped this season, because I think most of the games we've been in every single game we've played, besides probably that Bentley game where we were down to 10 men for 60 minutes.
Yeah, but then in the reverse fixture, we're definitely the better side as well.
Exactly. So, I mean, it shows we can beat anyone.
Yeah, and even though we lost to Heidelberg twice, for example, we're in it. I think we showed that, played great football. Avondale, South Melbourne, regardless of who our opposition is, on our day, I can't see us not being the best team in the competition. And we're playing some brilliant football, not just, booting it up forward, but actually playing. And that's when we look best, when there's the shivers going on in the middle of the park and when the boys are backing themselves. It's really beautiful to watch.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Definitely. I think this year, as opposed to some of the previous years, just as Rob alluded to, just knocking the ball around, diags, through balls, mixing it up a bit, whether we're coming in a bit more deep, it's just been much more attractive to watch. And the effort's there. And that's, I think, as a supporter, that's what you want to see, is just effort. Win, lose or draw is effort. So, aside from all that, mate, Taylor and Bissy got a lot to say on his Facebook thread. They better be coming over here for the game, mate. Are they coming over?
Very busy. Taylor won't, because...
Soft Taylor.
He's a softie.
Bissy's coming for sure, isn't he?
Bissy lives here.
He does.
Yeah, he plays for Eastern Lions. He's been bagging in a few goals. Oh, what's he got to say?
He scored a screamer earlier this season.
Did he? In the weekend, he also missed two penalties. So I'd just like to put that out there. There's video footage as well floating around. So
we'll have to YouTube that later. You're saying you, well, Bissy was saying your greatest game was against Napier City Rovers away at Alex Moore Park. Can you tell us about that, mate? What was that?
That was a great game. Well, me and Bissy used to play together for Wairarapa United. And I think it was our last game of the season. And I think we were doing something like, it was like the dick of the day or something, and they had to eat a meat pie. And it's called I can't even remember what it's called. It's called a wrapper pie or something, and it's just like a mince and cheese. And I think our goalkeeper got it, and he ate it before the game. And then our coach pulled out a bottle of honey whiskey, and we all had a few shots before we went out for the game.
As you do.
And then, like, obviously, you know a few boys from the other team, and they were, and one of my mates from the other team, like, comes to me and goes, have you been drinking? And we were just like, oh, yeah, we had a couple. And then we were losing 4-1 at half time, getting absolutely rinsed. We've gone in at half time again. The coach has abused us. Everyone else has gone out, and me and Bissy are in the changing room just with the coach, and there's about half a bottle of that honey whiskey, and me and Bissy just smoke back probably about 3 or 4 each, and then the coach is swigging on it, and then we're just laughing, me and Bissy going, "Laugh, let's go out." Second half. And I think second half, me and Bissy both scored hat tricks, and we won 7-4.
What's the moral of the story? Drink honey whiskey before
drink
a game.
Drink some honey whiskey, yeah, at half time and before games.
We'll make sure Martin gets a few bottles in before the big FA Cup game, eh?
Exactly right. But you brought up pies. Where are the better pies, in Australia or in New Zealand?
New Zealand, 100%.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And Mark Ivkovic here reckons, how was playing in the Club World Cup? I've heard you have to be real quality to play in that tournament.
Not really, because I went there, Mark, so you don't have to be that good, to be honest. Well, it was good until we lost on a penalty shootout when we were 3-0 up, so it was pretty crap, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I could imagine. But even coming here and adjusting to the community here, they say, oh, crazy Kiwis and crazy Croats. Must have been an easy adjustment then for you.
Yeah, I mean, we don't get all the... Back home, I thought there was a lot of different cultures and ethnicities back home, but over here it's completely different to what it is in New Zealand. There's a lot of, like, the different sort of European ethnicities here, whereas back home you won't get a lot of those kind of people, and they're actually so loud and proud about where they're from kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but you are too, Liverpool.
I don't go around barking it to everyone, though.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, the Croats are the most humble people in the world, but anyway.
Are you hanging around for the Croatian tournament later in the year, or?
I'm not too sure what's going on there. I was speaking to Parvi, because I was probably going to go home at the end of the season, and then I was going to probably come back, because we got a trip to Bali booked, actually, the boys.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I think there's about... 12 or 14 of us that have all booked in, ready to go to Bali, I think, sometime in October.
Yeah, just after the tournament.
Just after the tournament, yeah.
A precursor to the tournament, eh? Just warm-up?
Warm-up.
A precursor to Bali, I should say, the tournament.
Well, perhaps they should go to Bali first and then come, because then they'll win it, because then they're going to have all the honey whiskey they want and then come in.
Pretty good in duty-free, those bottles.
Are they? I'll take your word for it. I'm not much of a drinker. Robin Mick was saying, not the first Kiwi at the Knights. Remember Paul Ehrlovic? Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's true. So tell us now, I mean, you're only 26 years old. You still got a lot of football ahead of you. What sort of goals? Is there anything you still want to achieve?
Oh, I mean, I just want to play as long as I can, to be honest. 26 now, hopefully I can keep playing, I don't know, till 30.
Eight, nine?
Oh, I don't know about that, but as long as my body holds out, I want to keep playing at the highest level that I can. So I guess just see what happens. Hopefully I can stay injury-free like I have, but I guess you never know. Yeah.
So, well, we're not approaching. We've passed 9 o'clock anyway, but...
It's become the norm lately, hasn't it, mate?
It has been, yeah. We're always late. Well, we are Croats, notoriously late anyway. So, but, mate... Thanks for coming into the studio. Really appreciate it. You see him there. He's dogged out on the field and, you know, always happy to have a bit of a, you know, how's it going out there on the field. But look at him here, cool, calm, collected gentleman in the studio. Yep. Absolutely a pleasure to have you here with us, and really great to have a nice, more in-depth conversation with you and get to know you as well.
You actually gave up training tonight to come in and have a chat to the boys, so really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'll be paying for it, thanks.
They're still giving out the fines there.
100%.
Well, go to the Bali trip anyway, so
it all goes to Bali.
It's all good.
No problems with me.
So, Rob, tell us about this hot new track.
Well, look, I was driving in the car this afternoon. I thought I'd, you know, quickly, you know, just record something in the car. Isn't that what Smiling Gizmuth usually does? So, no, it's a little bit of a tribute that we did to the World Cup runners-up last year. Everyone knows that was pretty big anthem during the World Cup last year. Ni ushor di masve, loosely translated, it's not all in the shoulders. Some of it's in the hips. No, it's not, but anyway. But, yeah, just a little tribute to the Croatian national team, and especially after Joe Šimunić came in last, or spoke to Joey last week, and all the successes a year on. This was a little major minor tribute to the Croatian national team, and it is soccer-related, and considering I'm on this show every Monday, might as well play some music. Everyone keeps asking me, when are you going to sing? Well, here, I'm going to sing now. So anyway, ladies and gents,
Laku noć.
Laku noć.
Tamo gdje val, ljubi moj kamen, tamo gdje rođen sam ja. Tamo ću doć i baciti sidro nemirnog života mog. Reka sam ja, nema tu sriče, sine moj, vrati. Yeah.